We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The following is a KMOX sports presentation.
Welcome to the Redbird Social, presented by Lux Galore International.
And sponsored in part by T.R. Hughes Homes, St. Charles' premier new home builder, and the Sarah Community. Schedule a virtual tour at thesarahcommunity.com.
Now, the Redbird Social, on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome into the Redbird Social on KMOX. I'm your host, Chris Raby, along with Mike Anderson here in our KMOX studios. Hope you enjoyed 2011 Revisited, part four of my oral history of the 2011 St. Louis Cardinals. It's been fun to tell those stories and to share a lot of the conversations that I've had with some incredible people over the last few months. Going to bring you another incredible person and an incredible conversation this hour. Generally, we talk baseball, social. That's the name of the program, the Redbird Social. It's because the Cardinals, so often in our lives, in my life, every day, and I'm sure for most of you, if not all of you, are a point of social interaction, a social intersection, if you will, in terms of something that brings probably the most people in this community together, outside of maybe complaining about allergies every April or streets not being plowed in the city or anything else along those lines. But you catch my drift. We call it the Redbird Social because the Cardinals bring us together even when they're not on the field. And in that vein, I want to introduce you to one of my good friends here in St. Louis. Like me, he is a St. Louis transplant, and he has some incredible experiences. He played professional basketball all over the world for 13 years after a college career at Indiana State. Originally from Cleveland, Ohio, he now makes St. Louis, Missouri his home. I met him through Larry Hughes and the Larry Hughes Basketball Academy, and he's worked with some of the best players on the globe throughout his career as both a player and now a coach. But he's much more than a basketball coach now. We'll talk about what that word coach means to him, what listening means to him, and how all of his experiences, both comfortable and uncomfortable, have brought him to where he is today. For the next hour, I'll introduce you to my friend Jason Wells on the Redbird Social. We're back in a moment with Jason on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Redbird Social, presented by Lux Galore International.
And sponsored in part by T.R. Hughes Homes, St. Charles' premier new home builder, and the Sarah Community. Schedule a virtual tour at thesarahcommunity.com.
On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Well, we call this the Redbird Social Hour because of how sports and the Cardinals, especially over the course of the year, can bring people together and can bring us all sorts of different fun conversations. And it is great to be on Zoom seeing my guy, Jason Wells. It's been too long, and we were supposed to link up after I got back from spring training. Of course, things have changed a bit. Folks that have been KMOX and Sports Open Line listeners may have heard Jason a couple of years ago. It's great to see you, brother. How are you, man?
Man, I'm amazing. I'm not saying that as cliche or anything else, man, besides the fact that I'm absolutely amazing, bro. It's good to be here. Good. I appreciate the platform. Appreciate connecting with you, man. Excited about whatever we dive into.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised that Jason Wells is doing amazing in quarantine. You're the most positive, like, inspirational person that I've ever met. And we'll give folks a little bit of background. I met you through Larry Hughes, and D1 basketball, which was a group that he was running in St. Louis. You played professionally for 13 years all over the world. Our guy Tom Ackerman says hi because you were a Valley guy at Indiana State playing for the Sixth. And you are now in, and I'll say you are an elite basketball coach. You train with not just youth players, but NBA players, and work with guys all over the country, all over the world. But you've also now become like a mogul. I mean, you've got a poster of yourself behind you right now, bro.
Hey man, I'm figuring out it's all about the brand. So, you know, I ask myself jokingly, who am I right now? You know, having written a book, which is the poster you see outside of the other one is kind of obvious with me hanging from the rim. But yeah, man, I'm really in this path, which leads to me being amazing. I'm just really in this path where I am totally okay being led with the direction and the path and the journey of where I'm going. And so, and the cool part about it is I've taken my hands off the wheel. So it's not even me in control. So, you know, understanding that we have people of different but religious and spiritual beliefs, man, but whatever you call it, I'm not driving. So I'm totally okay with it, bro.
So I'm going to link after this conversation to our first chat from a couple of years ago, because we dive into your basketball history and all sorts of crazy stories from playing around the world. But after playing basketball internationally and after being a pro for what, 13 years, right?
Yep. Yes, sir.
You transition, you coach, and now you are, I think, fair to say, a coach in a lot of different areas outside of just basketball. Still, basketball is a huge part of your life, but you are an author, a speaker. You've given TED Talks. You have addressed all sorts of different groups. If somebody, what would the business card right now, what does the business card right now say besides, you know, jason@jasonwells.com, which is a baller email address?
The business card says experience teller, which is my word for motivational speaker. I'm not a fan of social labels, and you know, I don't want to dive too far into this, but I just struggle with the word motivation. I feel like that's what we do most is motivate, which means to me, we feel good in the moment. And then when that moment is over, we go back to whatever is most comfortable, which usually
like a drug, like a pharmaceutical.
Yeah, exactly. So it's experience teller, which is my word, author. And then the last part is enhancement coach. And I was very specific in how I chose that title. You know, again, social label may say executive coach or something like that, but for me, or a transformation coach or transformational coach, you know, change is something that most people don't want to do. And transformation is just a fancy word for change. And so rather than say change, because two different things, A, most people are afraid of change or don't want to change, or B, what happens if I feel like I'm on top of my game and I don't want to change? And so rather than use some form of that, I came to the conclusion most people, no matter where you are, whether you're in a peak of life or in a valley of life, most people have an aspiration to get better. So I went with enhancement coach. And quick shout out, because you mentioned it, man, like, shout out to Larry, LHBA, everything that he's doing over there. When I decided to step away, it had nothing to do with the organization. It had everything to do with me pursuing this journey that I felt called to be on. And so super proud to be associated with him and the things that he's doing, continuing to do. I know he's got the facility over in Chesterfield and still continuing to pour into the St. Louis community like I knew his vision always was. So yeah, I just wanted to take a shout out to give, you know, big time props to LH and what he's doing.
So with that being said, basketball as a conduit for everything you've done, how much of everything you've done, everything you do, how much of it has to do with the world of basketball, the people you've met, the opportunities that you've had, you've obviously taken advantage of. I mean, you've gotten to see, how many countries did you play in? How many countries have you visited?
I could not answer the second part of that question without deep thought.
20, 30, something, into. Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere between 20 and 30. I call it 12 as far as playing in. And as far when I say playing in, I mean that I was there for 3 months or more. So six continents because of basketball, numerous relationships, friendships, lifelong connections because of basketball. You know, it's when I start to speak from that place and be in that place of humility, it is, I'm just a little boy from Cleveland that because I can put a ball in a basket has been able to see things that I couldn't even dream of when I was a little kid. So I got everything to owe to that little orange ball.
Well, you're not a little boy from Cleveland. What are you, 6'10"?
6'8", man. Don't know me like that. That's
okay. Oh, okay.
That's almost freakish, 6'10". That's, come on. No, 6'8".
6'8", not at all. Well, and that's the point. I mean, you're 6'8", African-American, and you, I'm sure, I don't want it to sound, you know, me sitting here saying that you get used to standing out in a crowd, but you're always the guy that's a foot taller than everyone, right?
Yeah.
Like, especially in Europe, when you're walking around in cities in Western Europe, did you immediately find with basketball and, you know, you had teammates, and I always say the only time an NBA team or a pro basketball team or a college team don't stand out is when they're all walking through a hotel lobby together because they all look the same size.
Yeah.
But how quickly did basketball perhaps force you, Jason, out of your comfort zone in terms of, you know, sticking out in a crowd or in terms of, you know, going to a grocery store or maybe not being able to drive a car? Was that something that with all the opportunities sports have afforded you, was it like diving into the deep end straight out of college and not really knowing what you were getting yourself into?
Man, you're talking about when I left Cleveland and went to Terre Haute, you're talking about a 17-year-old
kid. Stand out there too.
Yeah. You're talking about a 17-year-old kid who pretty much hadn't left Northeast Ohio. And all of a sudden I'm thrown into the cornfields of Western Indiana, 4 years there. And now you're talking about a barely 21-year-old kid. If you remember my story, I didn't turn 21 until December of my senior year in college, hence the nickname Pup when I was at Indiana State. So you're talking about a 21-year-old kid who, outside of traveling through, you know, the couple basketball spots when we went down to play Mercer and Georgia Southern, but still for the most part hadn't been out of the Midwest. And now all of a sudden I'm in Stockholm, Sweden. And, you know, when you talk about getting out of my comfort zone, man, it's funny, Chris, because a lot of these things were brought to me by other people. At the end of the day, it's my life. So I'm not looking at it, you know, through any extraordinary lens. But it was a conversation that was actually brought to me. Like when you talk about courage, and I wouldn't ever use that word, but for courage of what I'm about to say, but when you go overseas as an international athlete, whatever the sport is, you're going over with nothing but question marks. Like, you don't know a whole lot about the team. You don't know a whole lot about the city. You don't know who's picking you up from the airport, bro.
Much less who's writing the checks, right?
Much less who's writing the checks. And so, you know, the biggest thing, and this is something that I've really come to recognize and really truly appreciate just about myself, my personality, and my God-given talents and abilities. But I have always, no matter where I've gone, I've always been so interested in the people that I feel like it eliminated, for the most part, any kind of discomfort, any kind of uncertainties, because, you know, every place I went to, I wanted to learn the common phrases. I wanted to learn how to say hello. I wanted to learn how to, you know, say a couple things. I wanted to learn how to count to 10. And those things in themselves showed the people that I was interested in them and in them as a culture, and not just there to play basketball or whatever. And that was always my connection point, which lands me on, you know, I learned myself by learning other people, you know, so I have a different lens and I have a different outlook on things because I've been experienced and blessed to be able to see through a different lens. I was 21 years old through 34. The meat of my young adult life was spent in somebody else's country. So
it's pretty incredible to think about. And I want to talk a little bit more about that outlook and about trying to learn about others, learn about the things that make us different. We'll do that next, Jason. Jason Wells is with me. He's my guest on the Redbird Social Hour because sports bring us together. And I think that it's time to be honest and social as much as possible. Chris Rabe with you. We're hanging out until 8 o'clock. Mike Anderson here as well. Jason Wells is our guest, and we're back in a moment on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Welcome back to the Redbird Social, presented by Lux Galore International.
And sponsored in part by T.R. Hughes Homes, St. Charles' premier new home builder, and the Sarah Community. Schedule a virtual tour at thesarahcommunity.com.
On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome back to KMOX. We call this hour the Redbird Social. Chris Raby with you, Mike Anderson in the studio as well. After 2011 Revisited, episode 4 was tonight from 6:15 until 7. And again, the keyword being social. One of the most social and inspirational guys that I know is with us until the top of the hour. That's my friend Jason Wells, who is an experience teller, a coach of many different kinds. 13 years playing professional basketball all over the world, and now makes his home in St. Louis. And, you know, Jason, we were just talking about some of your experiences. And as, again, a black guy and someone who's 6'8 and played professional basketball in countries all over the world, you were telling me about your outlook and about your outlook to make a concerted effort to learn about people, learn about different cultures, learn about what was going on, what made the cultures that you were immersing yourself in those specific cultures.
An outlook that I think a lot of people could stand to maybe try to adopt at least a little bit right now, because I wonder, Jay, how quickly, when you spent the time to learn and to listen and try to learn things about other people, no matter what country you were in, or whether you were in Terre Haute, Indiana, or if you were wherever, man, like how quickly did you see similarity and how quickly was a wall broken down?
Yeah, and even beyond that, Chris, is, man, I could go off on a tangent that you didn't even know was possible, but
please,
when you talk about, I've met this guy here in St. Louis. His name is Fred Falker. He's an unbelievable man. He's 25 years my elder, African American, went to Wash U in the late 60s and early 70s. So, you know, a lot of dynamic there. And in a nutshell, Fred has taken me under his wing, because as we started to have communication and have dialogue and create a friendship, I think he understood that I got it. I got what he was talking about. And what he talks about is a shift in paradigm. And this doesn't, it has everything to do with race and what's going on currently as we speak, but it has nothing to do with it. It just has a rooted foundation in having a desire to care about people and to see people as people. So again, race, yes, but also religion, but also politics, but also sexual orientation and any other ism that you can put into it. But it's rooted in this. So often we've lived in a difference paradigm where we look at our differences and we let our differences dictate how we navigate through making a choice to make a connection. And the paradigm shift, which is comparable to the earth is flat, no, it's round, is it's not the differences that separate us. But they are real. The differences are real. You are a white man and I am a black man. So the differences are real, but the lines that we create to separate us and divide us are not. And rather than living in a difference paradigm, we talk about living in a distance paradigm, where now just the distance between us, but in that distance is a space, and in that space is opportunity. And the only thing that the true thing that only that needs to happen is for one of us, preferably both of us, but one of us to make a choice to close that distance. And all of a sudden you have a relationship, and now it doesn't matter. Commonalities, differences. Chris, I've had plenty of conversations with people who love basketball that I could care less if that was our last conversation ever in life. And I've had conversations with people who don't even like the sport that are some of my best friends. So commonalities and differences are small pathways to connection, but ultimately it just boils down to how can I get in close enough proximity to see Chris as Chris and not the proverbial box that I put him in.
But you think too that the differences have to be acknowledged, right? Like,
sure.
A big part of this right now, and you know, it just, more than anything, it's just sad. And I think that instantly we look for explanation and we look for rationalization, and you know, to see what's going on and then hear people say, like, one of my triggers is, you know, somebody says, well, I don't see color. Well, that's impossible unless you're colorblind. And to say that, we're kind of burying the fundamental issue. And like you almost said earlier, Jay, like in terms of motivation, like that's almost saying that, well, it's fine. I don't need motivation to try to get better, but we all have to get better, whether it's trying to exercise more or eat better, or realize that we all have some inherent prejudices and inherent ways that we think about things.
Mm. Yeah. And that is also a trigger of mine, is when people say, I don't see color. That is not what I want to hear, because if you're telling me you don't see color, you're ultimately telling me what I hear is you don't see me, because I am a man of color. And so I get where you're going with that. But I just feel like there's a different way to say that. I try to do my best to stay out of better or worse, or, you know, because I respect somebody's opinion and emotion. But I do feel like there's a different way to say that. And, you know, I see people. I feel like is a different way to say that. And that is something that I was awarded that opportunity to. Man, I played in Israel, where for centuries, for I don't even know what's longer than centuries, thousands of years, you're talking about internal rooted turmoil between the people in that region. But when you're on the ground, first off, physically, you can't tell much difference, because they're all olive skin, you know, hair of wool. They all look like that, whether you're Arab or whether you're Jewish. But once you get rooted into the country and rooted into the people, it's much like it is in America, where you got extreme left, you got extreme right, but the people that are day to day that you're doing life with, that's who you're rocking and rolling with. And those aren't the people who think drastically different.
We're hanging with Jason Wells, 13 years playing professional basketball all over the world, and now a jack of all trades, a Swiss Army knife. His website is jasonwells.com, jasonwells.com. You can follow him on social media as well. How about St. Louis? You and I are both transplants to St. Louis. And, you know, having both been here now a handful of years, how would you compare the acclimation process in St. Louis to other places you've acclimated? Because obviously you're still in the United States, so that's different than being around the world. But there's also been some stuff that's gone down here, man, over the last couple of years, especially going back to Ferguson and what happened after the death of Mike Brown. And I just feel tension, man. And I think that, again, if you say that you don't feel tension, especially in certain parts of the city, you're bearing it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I live right in between Central West End and Del Mar Loop. And for me to drive down Del Mar as recent as today, you know, you have businesses that are boarded up, preparing for, you know, what
our building here, where I'm sitting.
Yeah. And so Chris, man, what I've told people, especially people that are born here, raised here, love here, which at the end of the day, St. Louis is a Midwest city, and I am very familiar with Midwest cities. So born and raised in Cleveland, went to school an hour away from Indianapolis. Midwest cities are notoriously known for what they do. Blue collar, very prideful, very loyal. You know, it is what it is. The difference that I've seen here in St. Louis, and it's funny because the people that I speak with agree with it, is, you know, they understand, they being people native to St. Louis, understand that they have some challenges, whether it's, you know, the universal question of what school do you go to, you know, off rip, yep. or whether it's the years of, you know, social economic / racial tension, whether it's underlying or whether it's out in the open. And so, but it's not much different than anywhere else at the same time too. You know, sometimes it's a little more hidden and sometimes it's a little more out. So, you know, as far as my movement through St. Louis, I moved here and I was totally immersed in the basketball space. And then I left the basketball space and it took me a minute to get acclimated to life outside of the basketball space and grow a new network that was outside of the basketball space. And now it's, you know, shoot, I live here because I'm 2 hours away from my sons who still live in Terre Haute. I met a lady that I am head over heels in love with, and it is where it is until I figure out where the next place is. So I'm good.
And I want to talk about that because you guys had a great St. Louis experience recently. Went to your first Blues game. We can let you have the Indians, but all in on the Blues. Jason Wells with us. We're hanging out for another segment. Chris Raby on Redbird Social. Mike Anderson in the house as well. Back with more with Jason next on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Redbird Social, presented by Lux Galore International and sponsored in part by T.R. Hughes Homes, St. Charles' premier new home builder, and the Sarah Community. Schedule a virtual tour at thesarahcommunity.com. On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Chris Raby hanging out with my guy Jason Wells. We call it the Redbird Social because the Cardinals and sports in St. Louis bring us together. And Jason is hanging out with us, 13 years playing professional basketball. Now he does it all. His website is jasonwells.com, jasonwells.com. We'll talk about that in a minute. But before the break, you were talking about your lovely girl now that you've met in St. Louis. You guys had quite the St. Louis experience recently.
Y'all went to your first Blues game. I know that we can't make you an official Cardinal fan because you've still got the Indians. We can do the ALNL thing, but y'all did the Blues thing while I was down at spring training. Again, was hoping we could all go to a game when I got back. But, had to be another experience. Do you notice an instant like that? Like, not a lot of 6'8 black guys probably at a Blues game. Is that fair?
Yeah, it was – fair to say, yeah.
Not a lot of 6'8 people anywhere.
true. You know what, man? I because it's the lens that I live through every day, I see it differently. And so, yeah, you know, I'll notice when somebody stares longer than, you know.
It's because you're 6'8.
That will make me comfortable, yeah. But I navigate through. I'm used to it. I've even gotten to a point now where I'm comfortable sitting in it. I went to an event last year's Final Four, last year's NCAA tournament, where not only am I the 6'8 black dude standing in a room full of bank executives, but I'm in there with a sweatsuit on, and they're all in there with suit, tie, shirt, tie, and so, and I'm literally standing in the middle of the room. And at that moment was kind of a defining moment for me where I told myself, you know what? They're looking at me because they want to be me. You know,
they're going to stop modest at Nordstrom and get the sweatsuit on the way home.
Very modest, very humble. You know, I'm in there. I'm comfortable. I don't have a tie up to my neck. So always coming from a place of modesty and a place of humility. But your question about the Blues game, it was off the charts. I remember they played Colorado. It was my first NHL game. I had gone to a hockey game before when I was overseas. I went to see Sweden play Finland, which was awesome. but this was my first NHL game, and then for them to roll through and win the Stanley Cup last year, like you talk about funny. my lady and I were sitting in a bar over in the Grove not long after the game, and we're the only two black people in the bar, and they score a goal, and we're jumping up cheering. I'm sure people are looking at us like, that's different. But, yeah, man, you know, you can get me with hockey. I'll do honorary Cardinals until they play the Indians.
That's my hood now. So we'll see you over in the Grove in a little bit. But, you know, it's an amazing thing how sports can bring people together, and especially in a community like St. Louis, a community like Cleveland, man, to watch, you know, the Indians get to the World Series, to watch LeBron come home and win the championship, what that did for that community. I know right now it seems like if I'm talking about sports on the radio, there always has to be this caveat. Well, there are more important things going on. There's other stuff going on, but that's one of the things in life that, you know, to come full circle, sports took you all over the world. You had experiences and met people that, you know, some of us can only dream of. And it was because of sports and because of sports bonding people.
Yeah, it is. It is. I got goosebumps as you said it, man. Just thinking about, you know, if you were to just take some pinpoint things that have now become history, 9/11, you know, we're still in September, so we still had baseball. We're still in September. Football was starting. Like, that allowed, those things allowed us to take our minds off of it, whether it was for nine innings or whether it was for a Sunday afternoon.
How about President Bush just throwing a seed from the mound wearing a bulletproof vest? Yeah, I still get chills watching
that. You know, whether you're talking about the Boston Marathon, and like every event.
Kobe passing away.
Kobe passing, and I've actually used that as the anchor to some of my talks. Is, you know, man, when that helicopter crashed on January 26th, it was a change in history. Not for me as a basketball player, because, you know, Kobe specifically is a little bit younger than me. I never mirrored my game off of Kobe. I knew that he mirrored his game off of MJ. And if I wanted to be that, I would have just studied the actual statue, not the muse. but always respected Kobe. But when I dove into Kobe was post-retirement Kobe. The 3 years, 3.5 years before his untimely death, of businessman Kobe, of venture capitalist Kobe, of Academy Award winner and Emmy winner Kobe, storyteller Kobe, phenomenal father Kobe. That's the Kobe that I studied more than 81 point Kobe. And the point that I'm at right now, today's June 3rd, the point that I'm at right now has really culminated since January 26th, Chris, because his death allowed me the freedom to embrace basketball as being the platform that's allowed me to be able to elevate to all these other things that I've done. But that's all it was a platform. And when we met, bro, I was in a fight, an internal fight of wanting people to see me as more than the 6'8 black dude that played basketball. And I did my best to shun from that, like, see me for Jason. And now I'm at a point to where I realize I am the 6'8 black guy that played basketball. And now with that connection, I'm going to show you who else I am and what else I am. So just embracing it.
I'll tell you what, man, to hear Michael Jordan at the memorial talk about how he wanted to learn from Kobe about being a better man and a better father. And we've never heard Michael Jordan say anything like that. And, you know, that's not even considering the doc that was just out. But even in his Hall of Fame speech, you know, he's just a competitive guy. We all kind of laugh about how competitive he is. But he talked about, you know, as much as Kobe wanted to learn from him, he wanted to learn from Kobe and learn about being a man from Kobe. And I think that's, you know, about the highest compliment that you could give someone, especially if it's Michael Jordan giving it.
Yeah. I mean,
I didn't realize till that point how close they were outside of basketball.
Yeah. Yeah. It was truly big brother, little brother relationship. And that's what I feel like true coaching is. My dad told me when I was 12 or 13 years old, and when he coached my eighth grade team, and I'm asking him, like, how are you going to coach our team? You don't know anything about basketball. And he told me something then that only now starts to truly resonate as I coach people in industries and places that I don't even have a lot of knowledge on. And he told me, he said, a coach is simply somebody who takes people to places that they wouldn't be able to go on their own. And true coaching is not a hierarchy or org chart type deal. True coaching is age up to age down, senior vice president down to, you know, shift manager, like it, and it's continuous back and forth. It's not just I'm the oldest person or the senior person in the room anymore. And that goes across all walks of life. Coaches can't just walk in and say, I'm the coach, you have to listen to me. You know, teachers can't just walk in and say, I'm the teacher. It's no longer the information. Information isn't king. It's the relationship of where the information is coming from.
I think that right now it's easy to say, I was telling you earlier, like, yeah, I kind of wish that, you know, there's all this stuff that I thought I was going to do, or we all sat saying all this stuff we were going to do during quarantine. But, you know, more than anything, I hope that people can just listen a little bit, Jason. Just listen, because listening can be something that we all take for granted. It can be really hard to actually have a conversation, actually listen, and then respond to what somebody says in any part of our life, and not just be thinking about what you're going to say next.
Yeah. In this space that I'm in now, where I'm dealing with universities, high schools, pro players, coaches, their teams, both athletically and non-athletically, my first anchor is connect as a verb. And how you connect, first, I feel like you got to connect with self and know self to be able to authentically give yourself to someone else. And then in that connection with someone else, it is rooted in listening. I got a really cool quote that I heard that I use. Listening has the ability to change what people say. Like, in its simplicity, that's a powerful quote. Just listening has the ability to change what people say, because I'm not listening to react. I'm not listening to respond. I'm not listening to problem solve. I'm not listening to get my retort.
You're not just waiting to speak.
I'm listening. And listening is the true pathway to connection. And so, yeah, I 2 ears, 2 eyes, 1 mouth for a reason. You're supposed to be listening and looking twice as much as you are talking.
A lot of people I'm on these Zoom conference calls with for work could stand to take that to heart.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Man, I could honestly, you know, talk to you all day, and I'm going to link up our last conversation that gives the insight and some great stories, some funny stories, some incredible stories about your travels around the world. But folks also can check out your website right now, jasonwells.com. There's a link to your book, the author, Jason Wells, The Things We Know But Do Not Do. There's a link to your workshops, your TED Talk, everything up there. Is that the best place for people to go if they want to learn a little bit more, if they want to drop you a line, if they want to see a little bit more about what you're all about, jasonwells.com?
Sure. jasonwells.com is the place that you'll get everything. The big push now is the workshops, you know, being in this place where we're physically distancing. I like to shy away from socially distancing. I found myself more social now than before. So physically distancing.
It's a good point.
but yeah, the big push is the workshops. I am rooted in how do I make the athletic space better? Athletes are, that's my heart. And so realizing that athletes, I'm dealing with their coaches, I'm dealing with their parents, I'm dealing with their teachers and handlers and all of that. But my ultimate root is to help the kids that are misinformed and uninformed like I was.
Jason, whether
they look like me or not, I don't care if they look like me.
That's a good point. But we'll notice it. We'll start there. They ain't 6'8", I'll tell you that. JasonWells.com, that's the website. JasonWells.com. It's great to see your face, brother. Even if we can't get together, that will be very, very soon. Catch a couple Cardinal games, hopefully, if they come back this summer. And, man, I was fired up to talk with you. And, you know, we could all stand to have a little more amazing in our lives during quarantine. So I appreciate you spending some time and sharing with us.
Easy, bro. Hit me whenever. You got the number. The same way you hit me today, holler at me.
Yeah, you got right back. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right, bro.
Jason Wells joining us. I'd say it's a pretty social hour. And an incredible guy who's doing some incredible things, not just in the St. Louis community, but beyond. Check out his website, jasonwells.com. Thanks to Jason for joining us. And if you missed episode 4 of 2011 Revisited, the speeches, check it out, KMOX.com, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Big thanks to Mike Anderson. I'm Chris Raby. This has been a couple of hours of hanging out on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.